Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show, the first episode of 2023. And so in this episode, I'm going to be addressing the whole controversy between Steven Crowder and the Daily Wire. Now, I personally don't have a dog in this fight, as I don't really like either one of them. I mean, yeah, they do some great work, but as far as it goes, I see them both as wanting to make money off the conservative movement and not so much do anything for the conservative movement. So I'm going to kind of take a breakdown of some of the analysis that I have heard regarding Steven Crowder, regarding the Daily Wire, and then I'm going to go through and talk about the larger issue here, why it is that we in the conservative movement, with our conservative media and our conservative leaders, never seem to be able to get anywhere. Why it is that regardless of who's in the majority or who's in the minority in Congress or who's president, we all seem to be marching down the same path towards liberalism, towards more authoritarianism. And nothing ever gets reversed. Nothing ever gets addressed. The Democrats always get their way. And that is because we have a bunch of backstabbers as so-called leaders who prop themselves up as the moral backbone of the conservative party, as the leaders who are truly fighting for the Constitution, and yet they're not. So let's go ahead and start off with the analysis of Steven Crowder. Then we'll go off and take a look at the analysis of the Daily Wire, and then we'll address the overall issue. So with Steven Crowder, he was working at the Blaze. Now, he probably made a lot of money, more money than I'll probably see in my particular lifetime. But he has now separated from the Blaze. And as such, most of what he had done, apparently with Mug Club and so forth, was revenue driven towards the Blaze and not personal revenue. So as he has separated from the Blaze, he is finding out that most of his revenue stream is dried up, and he's pretty much having to start over. And depending on how well he planned financially, he may be taking a look at the money that is still coming in versus the money going out, and he may be panicking. And as such, he may think that his only path forward is to attack other conservatives to try and steal away their audience by trying to muddy them up. That is one analysis of the situation with Steven Crowder based off of the timing of this. And when you have tens of millions of dollars at stake, you never know what a person's going to do. You never know what lengths they will go to, because one of the issues is, you know, someone could be very principled on their way up, but once they're at the top, they start getting, money corrupts. So they start being more concerned about being able to keep that revenue going rather than staying genuine to who they are. Another issue here, and this is my personal speculation just based off of the timing and everything, is that this could all be kind of a ploy, you know, where the Blaze, you know, separates from Steven Crowder. Steven Crowder attacks the Daily Wire, muddies them up, and then people start taking a look at the Daily Wire and going, you know, maybe they're not so good. And then start going over to the Blaze, and then after everything dies down, the dust settles, Steven Crowder comes back to the Blaze, and they severely weakened or damaged one of their major competitors and are able to take away some of the sponsorships and money flows. You know, it could all have nothing to do with conservatism principles and have everything to do with rivalries and, you know, shrewd business practices and underhanded business practices. Now, the final analysis here, as it comes to Steven Crowder, and is that based off of some of those that have worked with him, he's a bit of a prima donna, and mostly, or more importantly, he mixes business with the personal, meaning that everything that goes on with business, he takes as a reflection of personal relationships. So if you got someone who mixes business and personal, and they're trying to merge with somebody or trying to do business with someone that separates personal and business, you got a powder keg situation where, you know, the Daily Wire, let's say they're extremely shrewd, let's say they're really horrible in their business practices and how they treat their talent, below the main four, you know, which is what? Matt Walsh, Andrew Klavan, Michael Knowles, and Ben Shapiro. Below those four, they may not treat their employees very well. They may actually screw them in the contract and screw them handedly. And of course, the Daily Wire creates false perceptions of, you know, what is it? They have one talent there that, you know, is in studio with, you know, a whole production team, but is designed to look and feel like they're just recording out of their own bedroom and so forth. You know, I don't really get that. I don't get the whole idea to hide, you know, the fact that you're in a studio or hide, you know, the level of success that you are at and trying to make yourself look like the small person organically and so forth. I don't get that. But if the Daily Wire treats their talent so poorly or screw them so much in the contracts, it may be to make it hard for them to leave to reduce turnover, or at least, you know, be able to keep them in line and going, hey, if you are fired, look, all this money gets cut off and you got to start over from nothing as you don't own anything, any of the audience, any of the channels, nothing that you built up. And so Steven, you know, if he takes it personally, you know, then yeah, you know, it's easy to feel insulted, especially if your friends are just treating you like any old talent. It may be feeling like a personal slight, a personal insult. Now, I don't know how much Crowder played and helping the Daily Wire when they were first getting started by having them on his show, guest, and recommending them, or how much the Daily Wire, you know, played in the buildup of Steven Crowder's show and all of that. I don't know all of the dynamics there. But if you also take into consideration the idea that the money that they would be paying now, even though it sounds like a lot of money, if it's only a fraction of what Steven Crowder would be bringing with him in terms of audience revenue and so forth, then yeah, it would be very insulting. And so for Steven Crowder's part, whether it's dirty, underhanded, you know, business practice, or it's just a prima donna having a hissy fit over a perceived slight, you know, I don't really trust it, and I don't really think there's a whole lot of principle behind what Steven Crowder's doing. You know, and me personally, I think it's more of him just having a hissy fit. You know, his revenue streams have been cut. He was demanding basically a large salary of, you know, whatever, and when he wasn't getting it, he throws a fit. And he probably just shot himself in the foot as far as his ability to work with others in the future and being able to generate the money that he's been used to over the last few years. Now, on the Daily Wire side, I can see some of the points that they have. You know, one of the issues with Steven Crowder is that he does tend to get banned or get strikes or have his channel suspended from time to time, which could affect revenue. Now, it's interesting that maybe that didn't matter to the Blaze, or maybe that is why he was no longer able to renew his contract with Blaze, because of how many times his channels and so forth would get suspended and wouldn't be able to generate the revenue to justify the pay that he was receiving. And the Daily Wire is all about staying within the guidelines of, you know, tech censorship and so forth, because they care mostly just about the money. Now, they want to be able to go through and be able to ensure that, you know, every show will be allowed to be published to generate money from the ad reads. And they're basically all about the business of business. You know, it doesn't really matter to them how it is they go about making their money, just so long as they make their money. And I'll get into that a little bit more later on. So they may be taking a look at Crowder as having certain risk factors that much of their other talent does not have, because Crowder is a little bit edgier than what the Daily Wire would normally produce or normally be associated with themselves. And so they may be trying to find a way to factor in the risk as they related to the contracts with Steven Crowder. And, you know, they could just have as a standard practice of separating the personal from the business and going off and intentionally lowballing them, and, you know, which has its own business strategy to it. You start off with a very low ball, then you go through the negotiation and by the time you get through and all of the so-called concessions, you know, while it's better than what you started at, it's still much lower than what it probably should be, still getting in a low ball situation. And they can go, well, we made all of these concessions over here, you know, as a way to get you to make concessions, even though those concessions were just to get back to just under a fair contract. And that is a strategy that works quite often in business, where you go, here's what a fair offer is. I'm going to give them 50% of that fair offer. That way, when we negotiate and we get back to 80% of a fair offer, it feels like there was a lot of compromise. It feels like there was a lot of, you know, back and forth, give and take, and so forth. And in the end, you still end up 20% under fair value. And it's a bit of a con that if you don't know about the strategy, you would think, okay, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not as great, or, you know, this wasn't as great as I thought it was, but hey, you know, I got them up 30% from where we started. Oh, I should have muted that on the computer, but in any event, you know, we got them up 30% from where we started. I'm a good negotiator and still got squashed. So for the Daily Wire, you know, it being about just business without the personal, shrewd practices of, you know, lowballing as much as possible and maybe trying to go through and assess the risk, maybe, you know, the Daily Wire side of it. And yeah, that is kind of, you know, a brief analysis of the Daily Wire, because for them, you know, it's just business. You know, they don't care about anything else. Now, touching back on Crowder for just a moment, he had recorded his conversations with the Daily Wire, which is one of the reasons why I'm suspect of his actions. Because if you take a look at recording a conversation, especially with people that over the years you have claimed are your friends, it gives two possible scenarios. One, Steven Crowder records everybody and is willing to stab anybody in the back if he thinks it's going to help him. In which case, that's going to probably cost him a lot of friends and, you know, have a lot of people attacking him and could damage him and maybe result in the end of his business. And another thing here is that it could be that over the years, as he has seen the Daily Wire and seen how they operate, see, you know, what they do and the content they produce and all of that, if Steven Crowder was, you know, maybe taking a moral stand against the con of the conservative leadership, or, you know, those who claim to be leaders of the conservative movement and the conservative media, it may be that he has become disillusioned over the years and now is taking a look at wanting to expose people. And so he probably could take a look at the Daily Wire, and either just because he just does this with a lot of people, recorded them and just thought what they said was really horrible and decided, well, we can't come to an agreement, so I'm going to take their audience. Or something that has been going on for a while with the Daily Wire, that all of this, the separation from the Blaze and so forth, was all a setup in order to try and expose the Daily Wire for who and what they really are. Or maybe it is that Crowder separated from the Blaze, having issues with what's going on at the Blaze and how it may be similar to what's going on with the Daily Wire, but due to a non-disclosure agreement or other contract issues, may not be able to expose the Blaze at this time, but has decided to try and expose others that he is not under any contract restrictions from doing so. And so he may have gone into the entire thing with the intentions of wanting to expose the Daily Wire. So with Crowder, it's kind of one of those up in the air. We don't really know what the motivation is, you know, and we don't know, you know, why it is he's wanting to go off and, you know, have this all public. And until we truly know what the motivation is, it's really kind of hard to analyze Crowder himself. And part of that is the timing. You know, is it because he's freaking out now that a lot of his revenue has probably disappeared since separating from the Blaze, and now he's has a strategy of attacking other people, dirtying them up in order to build up his own revenue. You know, is that the issue? Or is it that he left the Blaze disillusioned by the business practices, sees the business practices of the Daily Wire, and under that disillusionment, wants to expose everybody that he can? I don't know. Time will tell about Crowder. Now let's get into the Daily Wire and some other so-called conservative leaders that are at the head of the conservative media channels. Now, despite all of that, I think there is a lot of legitimate things being exposed here about conservative media, whether it's the Daily Wire, Fox News, The Blaze, and so forth, and how it is that not only are they just trying to make money from the conservative movement, but they're really there as a means of control, that they're really there to try and manage us and our reaction to revelations that they are not able to keep covered up. And as I start this portion of the episode, I'm going to start off with an analogy. You know, that movie, The Matrix, was one of the perfect movies because of the themes that were involved. And so I use the analogy of The Matrix here, and it goes like this. The scene in The Matrix, Reloaded, where Neo meets the architect, and he talks about the illusion of choice, you know, that you have to give people the perception that they have a choice in order to get them to accept certain things. And I see the conservative media as the illusion of choice. Now, as we get to the Matrix Revolutions, people started theorizing about the, quote, real world, as Neo was able to start using powers in the real world that he only really experienced while in the Matrix. You know, that something felt different, and how he was able to get into the main Matrix without needing to be plugged in. And some people have speculated that with the scene with the architect, that the real world was just another level of the Matrix, that it was just another system of control, that you realize, you know, that the main part of the Matrix was fake. You rejected the artificial reality. So they pretend to let you go into the real world, where it's more struggle, where it's more issues, but really still part of the Matrix, you know, that it's just an illusion of escape. And those themes, those analogies, those questions that get brought up as they added, you know, the two sequels. Yeah, I know they came up with a new one, but I'm not going to go with the newest installation. But if we go through the whole themes of the Matrix, it's all about providing the illusion of choice in order to maintain control. Now, while I could do an episode where I take a look at each conservative media company, from Fox News to The Blaze to The Daily Wire and so forth, however, since most of the controversy is related to The Daily Wire, that's where I'm going to stick the focus of today's show, going off and talking about each individual, quote, conservative media company and going through example of example, such as Fox News's actions on election night of 2020 and some of the stuff that they did since then, and all the other media companies would create a very, very long podcast. So I'm just going to stick to the Daily Wire here. Now, I first started becoming suspicious of the Daily Wire shortly after the primaries back in 2016. Now, during the primaries, if you supported a bunch of different people, whether that be, you know, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, although I don't know why anyone would support Jeb Bush, but you get the point. I don't fault anybody for having different preferences of candidates during the primary. I mean, that's what the primary is there for, is for everyone to try and figure out who they think would be the best leader out of the options that are available. But it was after the primaries, once we got into the general election, that in some respects, it seemed like the Daily Wire was there to try and hurt Trump, as they may have preferred Hillary, although they couldn't come out and say that they preferred Hillary Clinton. So it seemed like they were out there doing everything that they could to kind of damage Trump and try and undermine his bid for the presidency. And it was such that, you know, the Daily Wire was basically saying, vote anybody but Trump. And Ben Shapiro even admits, you know, maybe because he has no choice but to admit it, but he goes off and he'll admit that he didn't vote for Trump, that he voted for, I don't know, some third party candidate. But it seems like trying to siphon off votes for Trump would be there to help Hillary Clinton, you know, and it's a way to help Hillary without actually voting for Hillary, that type of situation scenario. So he can still claim to be conservative. But then after the election was over, and this is what really cemented my problem with the Daily Wire, is during the quote Mueller investigation. Remember that whole Trump Russia collusion story with that bogus dossier? Well, the Daily Wire went off to defend that. Yeah, even after it had become blatantly obvious that the entire dossier was complete BS, that the entire investigation was baseless and just a deep state plot to try and oust President Trump from the presidency, the Daily Wire would defend that. They would go off and try to deny any allegations that there was corruption on the part of Mueller's team, that there were problems or issues with the dossier. And I remember famously how Ben Shapiro and Dan Bongino got into an argument over Twitter, where Dan Bongino, which was really at the forefront of trying to expose the corruption and everything that was going on, you know, Dan Bongino was talking over Twitter with Ben, going point by point over all the issues and evidence that the investigation was bogus, corrupt, and just a deep state plot. And Ben Shapiro would eventually even go on to his podcast, not Dan Bongino's podcast, but on his own podcast, and talk about the arguments and just claim that, oh, I don't know what Dan Bongino's talking about. You know, I just don't see it. It's just not there. You know, our government would never do anything such. And that's when I realized that the Daily Wire was basically just a means of control, part of the matrix, if you will, where they will only, you know, go off and talk about the corruptions that cannot be covered up. If they think that something could still be covered up, their role is to downplay. Their role is to help keep it covered up, and just any leak about it, any suspicions about it, just downplay it. They are part of the establishment. They shrill for the establishment. You know, and so if the establishment wants to promote a certain narrative, then the Daily Wire's job is to just kind of downplay things that counter that narrative, no matter how blatantly obvious it is of the corruption. But when it gets to the point where the evidence of corruption gets to be so big that it becomes undeniable, well, then their job is about managing your reaction to it, where they'll go off and they'll talk about it. They'll, you know, let you know that you're being heard, that your, you know, outrage is justifiable. And then they will tell you, but don't really do anything about it. Just, you know, wait until the next election. Don't actually take any stand whatsoever against any of the corruption that you see going on. You see, they always play the next election. They always play the, you know, here's, you know, the next election coming up, that's your chance to voice your opinion. And of course, that's on the assumption that the elections are free and fair, which we see increasing evidence that they are more corrupt, rigged, cheating, with predetermined results in a lot of areas. But again, their job is to downplay any evidence of election fraud, or and just tell you, well, okay, maybe there was some election fraud, but it wasn't enough. You know, there just isn't enough evidence to say that it changed the outcome of the result. So, you know, again, it's about downplaying. It's about managing your reaction, managing your perception, managing your outrage. It gives you an outlet, just kind of like with the Matrix, the so-called real world is not just another level of the Matrix, where it lets you know, yes, this portion of the Matrix was fake, but you're supposed to believe that this other portion that is less, roses and sunshine and, is more post-apocalyptic. This is the real world. And therefore, you're fighting, one version of the Matrix is what you believe is real as you're fighting another version of the Matrix, when in fact it's all the Matrix. But yeah, with the dossier, the Daily Wire had taken the side of Mueller, trying to promote the idea that if there's an investigation, it must mean that there is concrete evidence, evidence that we just haven't seen, the really big evidence, that will be coming out later, and that we've only seen part of the evidence, part of the dossier, and haven't seen the whole thing. And so we must let it play out, see what they uncover. The Mueller investigation was a fraudulent investigation. It's proven to have been fraudulent. The government committed a lot of crimes in order to try and take Trump out. They lied to courts. They doctored evidence. They did everything that they could. And this is undeniable. This has all been 100% proven. But the Daily Wire coverage of that was just to say, oh, we must trust the investigation. Mueller and his people, they wouldn't engage in a phony investigation. You get what I'm saying here, that they promoted or defended much of the leftist attacks on Trump and defended much of the propaganda directed at Trump as they tried to justify impeachment, as the Democrats tried to justify it. But they would go off and try and claim that it's based off of a deep analysis of the situation. It was only when the ability to cover up the scandal, cover up the massive corruption, became impossible that they switched to acknowledging it and then trying to manage or downplay your reaction to it. And that's what they're there for, to manage your reaction to the scandals that can't be covered up. And then you see things that have come out with the Daily Wire since then. That Ben Shapiro having private dinners with Mark Zuckerberg and, the social media tech company leadership, and how Ben Shapiro never, ends up censored or banned and so forth, which, the way I see it, and this was confirmed on a hot mic, when Ben Shapiro got caught on a hot mic, it just confirmed what I already suspected. And that is, the Daily Wire goes off and they're basically there for the establishment. They have meetings with the tech companies where they basically just get, here's the line. Here's how far we'll let you go in addressing certain issues, as long as you manage the reaction to them. So it's almost like they're getting their marching orders. And as long as they stay within the content filters issued by the tech companies, then they're going to be allowed to, stay on there, make lots of revenues, let their videos show up in search results, no shadow banning or anything. It's because they're in agreement that there is a need for, managing, reactions to scandals that break. And so part of that is to be able to acknowledge and go through and go, yeah, there's a lot of evidence here, and then try to make sure that you don't do anything about it. We saw that, as it relates to COVID. We saw that as it related to the post-2020 election coverage. Despite all the evidence, despite everything that had come out, it's all about deny, deny, deny on the left side. And then on the right side, it's going, okay, yeah, there were some, but just not enough to overturn the result. So we just need to roll over and we need to take it. And of course, there is the business model whereby the Daily Wire makes all of their money from advertisers. So the advertisers will go off and say, here's the line. So they're going off and they're towing the line between how far the tech companies say they're willing to let the Daily Wire go and what their sponsorships are willing to let them say and how far they're willing to let them go. And then the Daily Wire stays within their marching orders. And so some of these meetings are basically a negotiation about what they can and can't do, because they are only in the business of making money off of the conservative movement. So the advertisers and the tech companies go, well, this stuff should be off limits. And the Daily Wire may come back and go, well, in order for us to, you know, continue being perceived as leaders in conservative media, we do need to address this. So, you know, we can go this far, you know, as long as we manage the reaction to it. And there they go. But if they ever go out and expose what they are not supposed to expose, you know, like in the early days of COVID, what you weren't, you know, allowed to say that, you know, was labeled misinformation and propaganda that everyone admits is undeniable truth now. So the Daily Wire stayed within the guidelines that they were issued so that they could stay on air and keep making money. Remember, they're all about making money from you while not actually doing anything for the movement. You know, they're kind of just siphoning off money that could go towards actual groups doing stuff for the conservative movement in order to line their own pocket. And this was all basically confirmed here when Ben Shapiro was caught on a hot mic after a live stream. He thought the live stream had ended and he was already off air. And then he starts talking about the editing decisions, you know, and editing out certain parts of the live stream when it gets ready to be reposted so that it wouldn't offend the advertisers and it wouldn't risk, you know, a strike or a ban from the tech companies for just saying something as innocuous as one group of people are weird. And you really start going how much they go off and they filter and how much they go down to having to downplay stuff in order to maintain the tech overlord's approval or allowance of them to continue operating, as well as to keep the money flowing from the advertiser. And so that really just kind of confirmed everything that I had already suspected based off of information that had come out previously about the Daily Wire. Now, we can say the same thing about the Blaze Media, you know, that despite their claims, when we go off and we take a look at some of their hosts and what they have done, you know, it's definitely not conservative. It's actually quite appalling, you know, and that they have gone, let's see here, the Blaze Media today is more to the left than what the left was 15 years ago. I mean, that. And yet they want to be able to call themselves conservative. And so they basically, you know, whether it's the Daily Wire or the Blaze or Fox, they basically go, okay, so the left is pushing this. The right rejects it at this time. Let's just get us there at a slower pace, a slower march to the left than what the left is doing. And that's what we see. Now, that is the big con that we see when it comes to, you know, Fox News, Daily Wire, The Blaze, and so forth. They're not there to maintain conservative values. They're not there to help conservatives. I've already told you they're there to make money off of conservatives and basically draining money from groups that and diverting money away from groups that would be fighting for conservative values. But they're also there to just manage you, to manage your reaction to scandals that can't be covered up, to try and downplay any notion of, you know, foul play whenever they can, and then also to manage you at a different speed. It's saying, hey, okay, these group of people, they're not ready to accept the where the left wants to be right now. So the left side will march there now, and then these groups, Fox, Blaze, the Daily Wire, they're just going to help push you there at a little bit slower pace, you know, little by little by little, getting you to accept a more gradual step towards the authoritarian vision of the left. And while I've provided a couple of examples, you know, from the last, was it 6 years now that I've provided examples from, going from, you know, the general election to the first couple of years of Trump to post 2020 election, just kind of hitting a few of the highlights, just because time constraints, I wouldn't be able to go through and hit every last example that there is. I want to challenge you right now to start really analyzing the so-called conservative media sources that you go off to rely on or to depend on, and take a look at what they were saying. You know, pull up, you know, if they have archive of their shows, you know, go through and pull up, you know, what it is they were saying at times when the scandal was breaking. You know, were they really going off and trying to inform you, or were they just trying to manage you? You know, go off and take a look at their hosts and do a really good analysis and think, well, are these hosts really conservative, or are they just being promoted on so-called conservative media to convince you that they're conservative when they're actually leftist? And if you do that analysis, you may be very surprised at what you find out. You may be very surprised at how gradual and slow that march, our pace, our change has been. You know, it's kind of like the old analogy here, whereby if you put a frog in boiling hot water, they will immediately sense the pain and jump out. But if you put a frog in room temperature water and then just gradually turn up the heat, that frog won't notice the incremental differences and will stay there as it gets boiled alive with no resistance. I mean, I know there's a more condensed way of saying that, but that is basically what conservative media has become. They are the lukewarm water gradually being turned up while we are the frogs. Now, bringing this back to where we started between Steven Crowder and the Daily Wire, and whether you're Team Crowder or Team Daily Wire, I don't really think there really is a whole lot of difference between them, other than their business model and maybe ego. But I really think that it's coming between two sides of the same coin, where they're both having their role to play as far as managing you, and that some of this is just kind of fake controversy and art dispute over contract negotiation and maybe creative styles. But when it comes to the actual overall conservative movement, well, I don't really think either one of them is really much more interested than making money off the conservative movement. So this whole controversy isn't about, you know, Big Con or, you know, the whole conservative media as a whole. I just think it's all about money on their side and all about contract negotiation, whereby in the end, they're both basically the same, doing the same role, managing you and your reactions so that you don't actually do anything about the systemic corruption, about the deep state, so that you don't actually do anything while the country marches forward into an authoritarian hellhole. So that is basically my breakdown and analysis. I'm on neither side here, because I don't really trust Crowder or the Daily Wire, just basically reviewing their content and their overall actions, that I just see them as systems of control and just arguing over contract and pay about how they go about their style of control. All right, so that's it for this episode. I'd like to thank you so much for listening in. And the show here, you know, as it goes through, January is always iffy, you know, December, January. And as you know, this is just a weekly show, and it's just kind of based off of time constraints with everything else that I have going on. Hopefully I'm able to be consistent on a weekly show, but, you know, this isn't like, you know, a daily show like The Daily Wire or Louder with Crowder or, you know, The Blaze. This is just me coming on when I have something to say on Sundays to give you an analysis of what's going on, rather than just trying to go off and find 20 different ways to talk about the same stories. or new developments of the same story, you know, I'm not going to track every little change like you would on the big media. This is me providing an overall analysis, the bigger picture analysis, when there's something to say. I'm not going to come on here and just fill up airtime, just to fill up airtime for some sort of revenue. And by the way, based on, and I'll be upfront and honest, I don't have the large audience that the Daily Wire or Louder with Crowder or The Blaze has, and I definitely don't make the income off of doing this that they make. You know, my income comes from other business ventures that I don't talk about or I don't do publicly. All right, so that's it for this episode. I'd like to thank you so much for listening in, and I will be back when there's something more to talk about.